Okay, we're going to start here at the top of Dalet Amud Aleph by the two dots, four lines down. Hakol Chayavim Mikra Migila. What we're focused on again is Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim. Pshita, of course. Lo, Tzricha, Livatel Avodatam. It's to teach us the din that we know from the Gemara Migila, that one leaves their Avoda in order to hear Mikra Migila. Kedavram Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Damar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kohanim, Ba'avodatam. For Leviim, Beduchanam, Yisrael, Be'mamadan. Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah stands on its own, on a certain pedestal because of the need for Pesume Nisa that allows one to be Doche, the Avoda in the Mikdash, in order to hear Mikra Megillah. We see the Gemara there discusses, as well as the Rishonim, about number one, this is a Din Derabbanan versus items that are a Din Deoraita. And the second issue is whether this is if they're in competition, or only when you hold the Kayim Shnehem, when you can do both of them. Meaning that if you're talking about priority, then we give priority to Mikra Megillah, because you can accomplish both of them. But in Yev Shar the Kayim Shnehem, if it was a choice simply between Mikra Megillah and Avoda, do we then say that Mikra Megillah takes precedence because of Pirsumei Nisa? Or no, because there's a Din D'Oraita versus a Din D'Rabbanan, the Din D'Oraita would take precedence when you can only choose one of them. So that's discussed in the Gemara Megillah as well as by the Rishonim, about the question of precedence versus competition between the two. Right, the next one is a call Chayavim Bezimun, which we saw before, but now we're on to Kohanim, Leviim, Yisraelim. Pshita, again, simple, lo. Tzvika do Alka'och le Kodoshim, that the Kohanim are eating Kodoshim. Salka dat Chomin, I would have thought, Vichlu Utama Shekupar Bahem, that the Kohanim, when they're eating it, they eat it in order to provide kapara to the balim. So that's what Amar Rahman, that's what the pasuk says, v'ha-kaparohi. This is kapara, and therefore it should not qualify for the need for zimun or for benching. Why? I think you would have to assume here, it's under some sort of principle of mitzvot lav lehenut nitnu. But here they're performing the mitzvah of kapara, and therefore they're not really eating in that sense. They're just doing what Hashem has asked for them as Shluchei D'Rachmono in order to provide the kapara for the balim. But that's not really called eating. And the Gemara answers, Kamash Malan, Vachalta, Visavat, Amar Rachmono, Vayitnehu, that there's achila, there's sevia, that's the requirement for benching. And over here, no matter what you call the eating, there's still achila v'sevia. Something akin to, there's no such thing as mitasek v'chalavim v'arayot. Mitasek is sabachloket and rishonim, but basic idea is that you're doing an action, but you have unintended consequences from that action. You're intending to cut vegetables, and all of a sudden you cut a branch off the tree. So you do a malacha, but unintentionally. So there, the Gemara says there's no such thing as mitasek by chalavim and arayot. Chalavim is eating, and then arayot, both of those actions involve hana'ah to the individual. So for there we say that the consequence of the action is assigned to you because of the benefit that you encounter. Whether it's from eating, it's whether it's from arayot, therefore we don't say it's called mitaseh. The same thing over here. The achalta v'savata is the requirement. Yes, mitzvot lav le'enot nitnu, but in the end you're eating. In the end, you're consuming, and you're being satisfied by that food. Yes, there's a mitzvah, but you're still getting the hana from it. Even if you say, mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu, over here you are, benefiting and getting hana. Which also turns out to be a machloket rishonim in Rosh Hashanah. Do we still say, mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu, when you do have hana? For instance, a person goes into the mikveh to be tahor, and he also has a side benefit, gets cooled off, he gets a bath, so on and so forth. Whether those, we can still in those situations say, mitzvah lav le'enot nitnu or not. Here it seems to be the Gemara suggesting, at least, that v'chalta v'savata is enough to require you to bench, even though you're performing some form of mitzvah or some sort of shluchei d'rachmano ninu. Right, next one is hakol mitztarfim lezimun. Everyone is included in the zimun. Kohanim leviim v'israelim. Pshita, again, why is that a chiddush? We just started out of chayav v'zimun. Everyone is chayav in zimun. Now we're talking about everybody's mitzarek to the zimun. Lo tzricha de ka'achle kohanim truma u'kodoshim. It's an instance where the kohanim are eating truma u'kodoshim. Bizar ka'achle u'chulin. And then an outsider, a non-kohen, is eating chulin. Sakadat chuminoho v'iba izar l'mechel v'adei kohen lo matzi ochil. They can't share their meal. The zar cannot participate or partake in the meal of the kohen. So because of that, emalo litztarif, that maybe they shouldn't pay him mitztarif. Kamashmalan, he desire ba'adei kohen lo matzei achil. The zar can't eat with the kohen. Kohen ba'adei zar matzei achil. But the other way around is not true. The kohen could partake of the zar's food. So yes, you're right that the zar can't participate with the kohen. But there's another way. The kohen can participate with the zar. So because of that, there is some overlap between them. And that allows them to be mitzdareif for a single unit to create the zimun. So that's interesting. Or, as you say that the Yisrael is eating something that's tameh, that the Kohen can't partake of. So Tosafot says, Mikanira, the Gilma b'nei Adam ha-mudarim ha-na'a zeh mizeh. If you have three people who are mudarim ha-na'a mizeh, ain't mitzdarfim. They can't be mitzdarim. Kevin, de'ein echad ma'en yachol echol im chaveiro. Because nobody can eat with each other. They're all mudar ha-na'a from each other. They can't get benefit from each other. No one individual can be mitzdarim, can bring them together. Umiyo nira, the gimel b'nei adam umadrim einan raya brua, the shiny truma shein la heter lazar. Because truma never has heter lazar, afilu b'she'ila. Mashein kein b'mudar hana. It's not true by mudar hana that they can always get a heter, can always go and do a tarat nedarim, do a she'ila, and they can undo it. Possibility of undoing it may be sufficient to allow them for the zimun together. Now, it's not clear to me that that's true by truma as well. We know that by Kodoshim and the assignment of Truma, that's also like a neder, and one can do Sheila, one can reverse such an action. It really depends on the exact circumstances, but you could reverse it. So that might be true by Truma as well, that you could reverse it. There are certain instances where, taking it one step further, that you can undo it. For instance, like you're saying, you have Milchiks, Fleshiks, or you have Tuma that you're consuming that the Kohen cannot partake of, where there's going to be an Isur to join the two meals together. There, it sounds like from Tosafot, and that is what the Gemara seems to indicate, if no two individuals can share, then you're considered separate. You can't be at Tziruf for the Zimun. Next one, Akol Marichin. So now we're finally back to our Mishnah. So Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Pshito, Amar Rabba, Onitzrucha Ben Bukhri. And we need this for Ben Bukhri, Detanan. Amar Yehuda, Heid Ben Bukhri, Biyavne, Kol Kohen Shishokel, Enochote. Any Kohen that gives a machatzita shekel, he's okay. There's nothing wrong with him. Amalo Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakeh lochein. That's not the situation. Ela kol kohen she'enu shokel. Any Kohen that doesn't give machatzita shekel, chote, is mistaken, is sinning. Ela, shakonim doshim mikra azeh la'atzman. The Kohanim are doresh in their favor this pasuk. V'chol mitchat kohen kalil tiyeh lo teachel. That any minchat kohen has to be entirely placed on the mizbeach. You can't partake of it. No one eats any portion of a minchat kohen. Hoyo veomer ushtei alechem velechem apanim shalanuhem. These minachot that are minachot tzibur, like the korban omer, like the ushtei alechem that are brought on Shavuot, and the lechem apanim that are brought every week, shalanuhem, were participants. Heyachem nechalim. All of those are eaten by the Kohanim. All of those minchot tzibur are eaten by the Kohanim. Yet, if a Kohen has a portion in it, it says that it has to be a kol minchat Kohen kalil. It has to be entirely put on the mizbeach. So how could it be that we are eating these minachot if we own them? If we own a portion of them, then they should go on the mizbeach. So that's the drasha of the Kohanim in order to say that we shouldn't have to give machatzit shekel. This is actually what happens. If a Kohen brings a mincha, gets burnt on the mizbeach, Yisrael brings a mincha, take a kometz, put it on the mizbeach, the Kohanim eat the residual, they leave the leftovers, the shiraim are eaten by the Kohanim. So now I have a mincha de tzibur. Mincha de tzibur is made up of all the components of the tzibur. That means every individual in the tzibur owns a portion of it. That means the Kohanim own a portion of this mincha. They own a portion of this mincha, it should be treated like a minchat kohen. Minchat kohen goes on the mizbeach, nothing gets eaten. Yet, all of these minachot, shtei alechem, lechem apanim, the omer, all get eaten by the Kohanim. So they said it must be that we shouldn't give the machatzit shekel, because that way we won't have any ownership in the minachot. Machatzit shekel is put into the lishka, the shumata lishka, they take those coins, and from that they purchase all the korbanot tzibur. Therefore, if they're participants, if they're partners in the machatzit shekel, then they become partners in all the korbanot tzibur. So therefore they say we shouldn't give machatzit shekel. According to Ben Bukhri, who says that that if you don't give it, you're okay, sounds like if you want to give it, you could. But how could they do that? If they do bring it, then it'll be problematic. Gemara says, because the Kamayu Chulun Lazara. Because then they're bringing Chulun to Lazara. They're not obligated to give the Machatzit the Shekel. They give it anyway. When they give it anyway, it's personal money that's getting put into the Lishka, into the treasuries of Hekdesh. It's one thing if you're obligated to give the Machatzit the Shekel. Machatzit the Shekel, if you're obligated, then that becomes or owned by the Tzibur, owned by Hekdesh. But if you voluntarily give a machatzit shekel, it's your machatzit shekel that's floating around. Now you have personal ownership that's floating around there. So they said, no, the mighty lo masar the tzibur. But you give it over to the tzibur. You fully give it over to the tzibur. When you give your machatzit shekel, you don't retain ownership. You say, this now belongs to the tzibur. You, in a sense, disown it. You remove any tzad ownership from this coin, and now it belongs to the tzibur. Now what are the drashot? Ben Bukhri, it says, L'chol ha'uver al pikudim, that who gives the machatzit shekel is kol ha'uver al pikudim. Who are the pikudim? The pikudim are those that are enumerated from 20 to 60. Everyone was enumerated from 20 to 60 with the exception of Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi was counted from 1 month and up. So they are not in the same pikudim as the remainder of Klal Yisrael. So based on that, they would suggest that the machatzit shekel, they're not chayav, because they're not over al pikudim. Since they're not over al pikudim, we're pturim from machatzit shekel. That's their limud. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's limud is that it says ze yitnu, and the gematria of ze is 12. 12 shvatim, tainu nami shevet levi, to kol over, mashma kol over b'yam suf. So they interpret not kol over pikudim to be those that were enumerated, but kol over, anyone who passed through the yam suf. Shevet Levi also passed through the Yam Suf, and Zeh, all the Shvatim must give Machatzit a shekel. That's Rabbi Yochanan's limud, and then we have Ben Bukhri's limud. Rabbi Yochanan says that they were doresh to their benefit, this idea about the Minchat Kohen, because they wanted to get out of paying the Machatzit a shekel. But they really are Chayavim and Machatzit a shekel. But in the end, aren't the Kohenim right? Aren't they right that they now have a portion of the Tzibur's Korbanot, and we should have to put it on Minchat Kaliyot? So I would have argued that they don't have ownership over it. It's the ownership of the Tzibur. It's not the ownership of the Kohanim. The Tzibur as a whole buys it. There's an entity called Klal Yisrael, an entity called the Tzibur that buys it. Rashi has a very interesting understanding here. Oli didan, late line half drasha. We don't have this drasha to hide the Kalil Tiyeh, b'minchat Kohen greeted to Aktiv. It's written by an individual. So the requirement of Kalil, which is what I was just explaining to you, it's only when it's a Minchat Yachid, not when it's Minchat Tzibur. But listen to Rashi now. So Rashi does something otherwise. I would have just said it's the difference between a Minchat Yachid and a Minchat Tzibur, period. Rashi says, no, the Minchat Tzibur also has the problem. It's just we go after the Rov, and the Kohanim are the Miyut, and therefore they're Batel, the Gabe, the Minchat Tzibur. It's very interesting. I'm not sure you had to come to that last line in Rashi. Could have just said it's the difference between Yachid and Tzibur. Yet Rashi terms it based on this idea of Zil Bataruva, that the Kohanim really are there, they would have impacted, but they're the miut, therefore they get wiped out as a miut. Now, Salkadat Kamino. So now we're back to the Mishnah. After we got all this background about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and Ben Bukhri, let's understand why it says Kol Marichim. Because I would have thought, Ho Vikti Bikol Erkecha Iye B'Shekel HaKodesh. We would have thought, because Kol Erkecha B'Shekel HaKodesh, any payment of Arachin is done B'Shekel HaKodesh. Therefore, what is this Shekel HaKodesh referring to here? It's a reference to the Machatzit HaShekel. So only someone who gives the machatzit shekel will be chayav in arachim. So that would be the havamina according to Ben Bukhri. So erkachayev b'shekel kodesh called ite b'shkalim ite b'arachim. Anyone who gives the machatzit shekel will also be obligated in arachim. V'hani kohanim hov letnehu b'shkalim according to Ben Bukhri letnehu b'arachim. K'mash malan according to Ben Bukhri, even though they don't give machatzit shekel, they still are shayach or relevant to the Pashat Arachin. So Amar Alei Abaye. Abaye says, we already used this Pasuk of Bechol Erkechayeh B'Shekel HaKodesh. If you remember, Daf Nun in Bechorot, we discussed that Bechol Erkechayeh B'Shekel HaKodesh comes to teach you that the minimum coin that is brought in the Mikdash is a Selah or a Shekel HaKodesh, and therefore the minimum amount that you can pay, for instance, if you were assessed that you could not afford to pay the Arachin here, and they gave you a dispensation to pay less, you can't pay less than Shekel HaKodesh. That's the minimum. So that's what we learn now from the Pasuk in Bechorot Daf Nun. That's what Abaye says now. How can you use this Pasuk to teach you that Havamina? Pasuk's already utilized. But the limud that I just explained, that we saw back in Bechorot, which was, that any erech that you assessed has to be a minimum of a sela. This is the reason we need a kol marichin. I would have thought whole v'ktiv, uftuya b'ben chodesh, tifte berkecha, that when it comes to a ben chodesh, the erech that is given is such, kol de'ita b'fidjona ben, ita barachin. Anyone who's relevant to the parsha of Pidjona ben is relevant to the parsha of Arachin. V'ani kohanim ho v'letnu b'pidjona ben. These kohanim who are not shayach to the parsha of Pidjona ben, we saw that early on in Bechorot, that when it comes to Pidjona ben, kohanim are p'turim, letnu b'arachin. I would have thought, had a havamina, the kohanim should not be included in the parsha of Arachin. Kamash malan, that they are included. That is not true. So that's it by his limits. We had the first havamina of the Gemara that it's going to ben Bukhri. And the Kamash Falan of Akol Marachin is that we don't learn that way, and the Kohanim are Shayach to the Parsha of Arachin. We have a Bayez Limud, which connects it to Bechor Pidjona Ben. And since we connect it to Pidjona Ben, where the Kohanim don't have relevance, so since the Kohanim don't have relevance, therefore maybe they shouldn't have relevance by Arachin as well. The conclusion is, yes, they do have relevance. That's the Kamash Falan, that even though they're Patur, but Pidjona Ben, they're still Chayav Be Arachin. Now it's very interesting. Uftuyav mi ben chodesh is, at least the way we've learned until now, the necessity to reach 1 month in order to have Pidjona ben is an issue of nefil. It's an issue of whether the child is considered a viable entity. That's why you're going to redeem it. So to say that the ben chodesh, Pidjona ben chodesh, is connected to the ben chodesh of the arachin that's mentioned over here, as well as the ben chodesh of the levim, seems strange, because over there the requirement is just a requirement to know for certain that it's a living being. So maybe you could argue the same thing by Arachin, and that's what you'll have to say, is that the reason that Arachim only started Ben Chodesh is because nobody's considered a Bar Kayama until they reach that point in time. That's a possibility. We're going to see that in a Mishnah coming up. There's a Machloket about what happens to children under the age of 30 days. Amalei Rava. Rava rejects this Havamina of Abaye. Lmiato. Gabe Elasham. The Elasham that is brought, it says, Di Vetashamo Yavila Shem El Tamim Minatzon Be'erkecho. It uses the term Erkecho over there. Hachanami, Chod Ite Be'arachin Ite Be'elasham. Only someone who is relevant to the Parsha of Arachin will have relevance when it comes to the Elasham. Tumtum Vajroginus, we saw in our Mishnah, the Letnu Be'arachin, Letnu Be'elasham. They won't have any relevance Be'elasham. That doesn't make sense, he says. Everyone has to bring an Eilah Hashem. It's Korban, it's Kapara. There's no reason to exclude a Tumtum and Andriginus from that. So that limud, he says, doesn't make sense. Elo Amar Rava, V'itei Meravashi, Yav Rava or Meravashi, Itztrich, Saka, Dat Kamin Obiktiv, Vei Midol Lifnei HaKohen. It says when an individual cannot afford to pay for the Arachin, and they have to assess how much you can pay, it says, Vei Midol Lifnei HaKohen. You stand him up in front of the Kohen in order to learn or to figure out how much this person can pay. So I would have thought, that it's only Israel that will stand before a Kohen, but not another Kohen standing in front of the Kohen. That's not true. That's not true, because anybody can go in front of the Kohen and be assessed for their value. So we had three possibilities about what the Havamina is with regards to our Mishnah. One relates to the Machatzita Shekel and Ben Bukhri. Kohanim would be Pturim from Machatzita Shekel, therefore Pturim from Arachin. Number two is Abaye, who connects between Pidjona Ben and Arachin. Whereas Patur from Pidjona Ben would then four be Patur from Pashat Arachin. And Rovo, who makes a connection between the ability to assess or to stand before the Kohen and Arachin. And that's only someone else besides the Kohen that stands in front of the Kohen, but not a Kohen. Kamash Malan, in all of these cases, Akol Marichin. Everyone is relevant to the Parsha of Arachin, and that's the Kamash Malan of Akol Marichin, Kohanim Levim Yisraelim. They're all included in the Parsha, that each one of these the Havaminas does not stand, and therefore you are Chayav in Arachin. Now we move to the next piece of the Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we started out, this is like an Amar Mar, which is that we started out that the Kol modifies that which is found in the Mishnah, the Hakol Nerachin. We said on the first Amud, Latuye Menuval Umukashkin. That comes to include even a Menuval Umukashkin who have no damim, they have no value in terms of if they were sold in the Shuk. Nevertheless, since the tables of Arachim are determined simply by age, and by gender, they will qualify for those tables because of the nifshot that is written by Arachin. Minahani milei. How do we know this is true? Tetan Rabbanan, be'erkecha la'avi erech stam. So erkecha comes to teach you that even if you just say erech, period, you don't assign who the object of your erech is. Normally you say erki alai, which means that it's my value that I'm going to donate. Or you say erech ploni, of so-and-so I'm going to give to the mikdash. So you have to identify who the object of your arachin is in order to go to the table and look up the age and the gender. What happens if a person just simply says, erech, I'm going to give erech. He doesn't define who the object of his erech is. So that's the case of erkecha. That word erkecha comes to teach me, if you just say erech stam, you're chayav. We're going to go through the braita, and then the Gemara will come back and investigate the whole braita. That if you say be'erkecha, it has to be the entirety of the individual. You don't give an erech for portions of the individual. You don't say erech of this arm to ekdesh. That's not relevant. That's not shayach by arachim. Arachim is only about entire individuals, not about parts of individuals. Yachol shani motzei av davar sheneshama tuluya bo. What happens if he says erech about an aver, a limb that is life dependent? For instance, the head. If you remove the head, then it's a life dependent. Tamalomar nefashot. So when it says nefashot, nefashot teaches you that anything that the nefesh is tuliyaba, anything that is a life force in the individual, if you promise that, then you are chayav. Braita goes on to other limudim. Nefashot velo amet. Nefashot means the person has to be alive, not someone who's already passed away. If they passed away, you can't have erech of that individual. Otsi et amet velo otsi et goses. I would exclude a mate, but I would not exclude a gusay. Someone's on their deathbed in their death throes. Tamalomar be'amid be'irich. They have to be able to stand up before the Kohen in order to assess what the proper erech is. Kosh yeshno ba'amada, yeshno ba'aracha. If you could stand up before the Kohen, then you have erech. If you can't stand up in front of the Kohen, someone is in their death throes on their deathbed, can't stand up before the Kohen, therefore they have no erech. If you can't stand up, you don't have an erech. Davar acher, nifashot. I only have the case where one individual was marich, another single individual. Echad she'erich mea. Someone goes ahead and says, erech of these 100 people is on me? Minayin, how do you know that he's chayav? Tamalomar nifashot. Nifashot meaning in the plural. Therefore it means even multiple people, they could be the object of your promise to bring erech. Devar acher. Another thing we can learn out of the word nefesh is nefeshot ein li ela ish sherich ben ish ben isha. Parsha starts off, which is the beral b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem ish ki yafli neder be'erkecha nefeshot Hashem. So it sounds like the parsha is only relevant to an ish, to a man. So I only have an ish sherich ben ish v'isha because it says ish ki yafli neder be'erkecha nefeshot. So it's an ish versus nefeshot. Nefeshot is gender neutral, and therefore it's an ish, a man, giving the erech of nefeshot, of a woman or a woman. Isha she'ericha ish. How do I know about a woman who is marich an ish? Isha she'ericha isha, or a woman who gives erech of another woman? Minayin. Tamalomar nefeshot. Learn that out of the word nefeshot. Davar acher. Another thing, this is the limud that we get for our Mishnah, nefashot, rabot, nuval, umukushkin. That it comes to include a nuval and a mukushin. Shiachol. Because the pasuk says, neder be'erkecha. It says, neder be'erkecha. I would have thought, kosh yeshno bedamim, yeshno barachin. Anybody who is relevant when it comes to having absolute value, if you donate the absolute value of that individual to the mikdash, and they would have value, they would be relevant in the parsha barachin. Kosh yeshno bedamim. Anyone who does not have value, Enu be'erachin would not have erachin. And menuval and mukashkin have no value in the open market. Tamalomar nifashot. Nifashot comes to tell you, anyone. Kol duhu. Anybody is shayach to parshat erachin. Vaya erkecha says that your value will be, rabot tumtum vanjuginus lidamim. That they'll be included for value. Shachol neder be'erkecha. Because of that juxtaposition again of the word neder and erkecha, anyone who's relevant to the parsha of Rechim, yeshno bedamim. It's relevant to having their monetary value being donated to the mikdash. Kosheinu be'arachin. If you're not relevant to the parsha of Rechim, enu d'vayamim, then you're not relevant to having your value donated to mikdash. Because we know by tumtum and anjuginus, they're excluded from the parsha of Arachin. That's our Mishnah. Since they're excluded from the parsha of Arachim, I would think they're excluded from the parshat damim. Tamalomar vaya erkecha zachar. Zachar velo tumtum vanjoginus. Yachalo yehe be'erach ish, ava yu be'erach isha. Fine, they're excluded from the zachar, from the males in the table. Maybe they should be included in the female's table, ava yu be'erach isha. Malomar, vaya yakacha zachar, ve'im nikevahi. In nikevahi is a continuation. Zachar vadai, nikevah vadait. Only if they're absolute zachar or absolute nikevah, velo tumtum vanjoginus. So they're excluded from the parsha of erachin. They're not excluded from the parshat damim. So now we have Amamar. We're going to go back now and investigate this Braita. We just had a Braita that had a number of limudim. The interesting part of the Braita is that the Braita is learning out from the same phrase or the same words over and over again. So that's what the Gemara first has to investigate. What is the limud from each issue that they brought up? And second of all, how does that interact with the other limudim that are there? So the first one is Amamar. Be'erkecha l'rabot erech sat stam. The Be'erkecha comes to include even if you just said erech, but you do not have an object of erech, my erech stam. What is Erech Stam? Your question, Tzvi, is, okay, if you said Erech, how do you know what you're going to pay? You didn't give the object a payment that's in the table. Tatanya, Omer Erech Stam alai, nutein kepachot shebarachin. You give the lowest amount in the table of Arachin. The lowest amount in the table of Arachin is a female between the age of 1 month and 5 years. So that is 3 shekel. The 3 shekel is the assignment for 1 month to 5 years for a female. And therefore, that's what you'll pay. You'll pay 3 shekel. Ve'ema chamishim. Why don't we say 50, the highest erech? Why are you picking the lowest? When he says erech stam, he didn't assign it. Why are you picking the lowest, not the largest? So my answer is tafasta meruba lo tafasta. Tafasta muat, tafasta. It's a logical argument that in the lowest number, I can ask you, why did you pick the lowest number? And you could say, because the lowest number includes everything. Everything, all the arachim, the lowest number has a portion of, because biklal matayim mane, that within 200 is always 100. So if I pick the 3, then no matter what, I've touched every erech that's there. Because there's a minimum of 3 shekel in every one of the arachim that's there. So if I pay 3, I've covered all the arachim. On the other hand, if I say that you pay 50, then all the other arachim that are smaller than 50, I haven't included here. Because why did you pick 50 and not 20? Why did you pick 50 and not 3. So that difference between them is significant in the fact that you're only paying one and not the others. But when you pick the lower amount not includes the lower amount, but is also subsumed in the higher amounts. Sve'ema shekel. Why don't you say that it's just 1 shekel? Why 3 shekel? Dichtiv. B'chol erkecha yeh b'shekel ha-kodesh. That's the lima that we just had before. That the minimum amount of arachin when you go in to get an assessment, if you don't have the monetary means to pay off the erech, you go in to get assessed. The lowest assessment you can receive is 1 shekel. So Mar says, "Avu b'hesig yadu d'chtiv." That's written by the person who can't afford to pay arachin. It's not in the mainstream table of arachin, and therefore we're not going to learn from that. Velakra vamali. Wait a minute. If you have this logical argument of tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta muat tafasta, that's a logical argument. Why do I need the pasuk to tell me that you give the lowest amount, that you give the 3 shekel? If you say erkecha stam, why do you need a pasuk? I have a logical argument. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuha, Lomar. She'enu nidon b'hesek yad. Comes to teach you the fact that if you say erech stam, you do not get the dispensation. If you cannot afford to pay it, you do not get the dispensation to be assessed for a lower amount. My time, huh? Because get the mefaresh gami. It's as if you explicitly said the number. When you say erech stam, you know, since you did not give a person that is involved in the table, therefore it's as if you came and explicitly said, I am chayav 3 shekel to the Mikdash. So in that case, you don't get the benefit or dispensation of hezeg yad. Hezeg yad is particular to the parsha of Arachin, where you do it based on an object, and then you have to look up in the table that object's gender, age, and then you get a number back. But over here, where it's as if you explicitly said 3 shekel, over there we don't give you that dispensation of hezeg yad. As Rashi says, kimefarej dami, it's very interesting. He says, velo dami lomer erki alai or erech ploni alai. It's not true when you say my erech is on me or erech so-and-so is on me. Da'atam lo mukhucha milta. Over there, it's not obvious how much you're going to pay. Deina kol yodim et shnutav. Not everybody knows your age and not everybody knows the age of your object. V'hacha davar galuihu shalo itala b'shum adam. Over here, it's obvious what he's going to pay because he didn't make the determination based on an individual. The determination is whatever the lowest number is in Parshat Erechin. So we know right away that he's going to pay 3 shekel. When you make a promise of erech about an individual, we have to go find out how old that person is. So until we find out how old he is, we don't know how much you owe. So it's a different sort or form of neder. It's a form of neder where we know immediately the number that you're donating, Versus in other cases, we're going to have to do some more work to figure out what you actually owe over here. So that's one. Ika d'amre. There's some that say just the opposite conclusion, which is that Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avua, nidon behesek yad, that they do get hesek yad pshita. Why shouldn't he get hesek yad? He's part of Parshat Arachin. I would think it's like as he explicitly made a donation from Ashmolan that he's included in the Parshat Arachin, because he said Erech Ploni is included in the Parshat. Right, so we just investigated the first line of the Braita, that is a person who says Erech Stam. And from that we understood, number one, that Erech Stam means that you bring the minimum amount of 3 shekel. And number two is that depending on which tzad of Amar Rebbe Bar Chana or not, you get either the benefit dispensation of Hesek Yad, or you don't get the dispensation of Hesek Yad. Now, davar acher, the next thing the Braita discusses, be'erkecha, be'erkulo onotein, ve'en otein erech ayvarim. You can only give the erech, I'm an entire individual. You don't give the erech, I'm individual limbs. Somar says, v'hafikte le'erech stam. You already used erkecha for the first line in the Braita. The first line in Braita teaches you that erech stam applies. So why over here, all of a sudden you're using it again to teach you that it can only be erech of the entire person, not the erech of a portion of the person. Gemara says, Kari be erech be erkecha. Pasuk could have written erech. The fact that it wrote as erkecha teaches you an additional item. So both erkecha plus the fact that it differentiated from erech gives you 2 limudim from that. So yochel shani motzi davar shani shamat lu yabo. So I would think that you would exclude a limb that the person's life is dependent on. Tamalomar nefashot. Nefashot velo atameit. So Gemara says, wait a minute. How could you do that? Va'fikdei, you already used nifashot. You just learned out nifashot to teach you that anything that the neshama is tluya bo is as if you said that I'm going to donate the whole individual to the Migdash, and therefore erechin applies to that limb. You say erech, the head of Ploni, to the Migdash, then you have to pay the full value of that individual, because it's something that the neshama is tluya bo. That's originally even for nifashot. Then the Braita says, nifashot velomate. So how do I, again, tulimudim from the same word? All right, so now the Gemara says, no problem. We can do the same thing we did with erkecha, which is nefesh nifashot. Could have written nefesh. In fact, the word nifashot tells me, otziat amet, velo otziat goseis, the next line in the Braita, that a mate will be excluded, but not a goseis, tamalomar ve'emid ve'erich. See, yochi mate nami tibklei me'emid ve'erich. Why do you need to use nifashot for the mate? Use hamid ve'erich for the mate. Just like a goseis can't stand up before the kohen, therefore he's not shayach to the parshat arachin. Same thing with a person who's passed away. A person who passed away can't stand up before the kohen, therefore he shouldn't be included in the parshat arachin. Where it says achanami, you're right. That's how we'll learn it out. Mate and goseis, we'll learn out of the pasuk of hamid ve'erich. So now we have nifashot available to us to teach us about something that the neshama is tluya bo, plus the nefesh nifashot, lamali, kibdina, lameimar, lakaman. The Braita continues, davar acher, nifashot, eni ele echad sheirich echad, echad sheirich mea minayim. That's the next line in the Braita. That's only one who assesses another single individual. What about an individual who assesses 100 individuals? How do I know they have to pay all 100 individuals erech? Tamalomar, nifashot. So that's how I have nefesh, nifashot will teach me those 2 dinim from nifashot. One is that even multiple objects can be the object of your erech, or your neder erechin. And number 2 is that nifashot teaches me that something that neshamas tluya bo. Davar acher. Uh-oh. Now we have another limud for the word nifashot. Ein li ala ish, shereich ben ish ben isha. Because the parsha starts, ish ki yafli neder. So ish, it's talking about a man. So it's talking about a man who's hereich ish v'isha, because nifashot is the object. Isha shereicha ish v'isha shereicha isha. How do I know a woman who promises to bring the erech of a man or another woman? Minayin tamalomar nifashot. How is that possible? We have nifashot here. Davar acher. Then on top of that, nifashot again. Avi menuval mukashkin. Va'af tigdikte lahanach. You already used it for the others. Hanach lo tzrichei kra. Those don't need a pasuk. My taima. Ki shakul hu vi'avu kulam. And I'll explain that line in 1 second. Ki itzrich kra, the menuval umukashin hu ditzrich. We need the nifashot for the pasuk of menuval and mukeshkin. In the end, from the word nifashot, we have the possibility of learning out 2 things, because you have nefesh and nifashot. So it's clear that the Gemara believes that the limud of nuval and mukeshkin is learned out of the nifashot piece there. But we other have 3 other limudim that come out of this nefesh nifashot. We have the limud of hashen nishaman tluya bo. We have the limud of multiple individuals being the object of your neder erachin. And we have number three, is that a woman is included in Parshat Erechin. You have three other limudim from the word, and we only have one more limud available to us. Because you have nefesh and nefeshot. So you have two limudim, and I have four things that I'm learning out. And one of them, the Gemara says for sure we learn out, which is muke, shechin, and menuval. So what do I do with the other three? That's what this line in the Gemara means, ki shakulu v'yavu kulam. Over here I have three limudim, and all three limudim are equal or equally plausible explanations for the limud out of the pasuk. And I have no reason to favor one over the other. So since they're all equally plausible, they have no reason to differentiate and say, well, this one makes more sense, or this one has a chumra, this one has a kula. I learn all three of them out. Since they're all equally plausible, and they're all on the same plane in terms of limud, what do? I say that that's the limud. They're all three of them at once are learned out of the pasuk. We have that in another place. We have it in Babakam. We had it earlier in Zvachim. This idea that if you have multiple limudim from the same word, and there's no reason to favor one of the limudim, not one of them doesn't make more sense than the other, then what we say is they all are learned out together in one shot from the pasuk. Therefore, what we have now is nefesh and nefeshot. Nefesh will teach us these three items, because they're all equal, they're all under the word nefesh, they're all good and plausible explanations for that word nefesh. You want all three of them out of the word nefesh. Nefeshot, that's a second limud, that second limud teaches us about mukeshkin and mnuval. Alright, so now the Gemara says, Vayar kechad rabot tumtum v'anjuginus ledamim. Vayar kechad comes to include a tumtum and anjuginus ledamim. Damim, lamalikra. What do I need a pasuk for? Why is it any different than a palm tree? If you say I'm going to donate a palm tree to the Mikdash, you give its value to the Mikdash. So why over here? Do I need a pasuk to tell me that if you promise their value to the Mikdash, that you have to pay it? Or probably here it's Rabbah. Teach you that you have to look at the entirety of the individual. That if you say that or promise to give a significant aver, the kvodo of the individual, to their value of that kvodo, that we don't just look at that single aver, we look at the entirety of the individual. If you say I'm going to donate the head of the individual to the Mikdash, then you don't just pay the head, you pay their entirety of their value. Kasaka dat chamina, I would have thought, neder ber kuchaktiv, kol sheyesh no barachin, nigdon bichvodo. Anyone who's relevant to the parsha of Arachin has this premise of nidon bichvodo. Anybody who's not in the parsha of Arachim, doesn't have this limud of bichvodo. Kamash malon, that's not true. That even so, vayah berkacha teaches you that tumtum and anjuginus get the benefit of bichvodo, even though they're not relevant to the parsha of Arachim. So I'm really by it.
Rabbi, you're claiming that the Kamash Malan is that there is no correlation between Arachim and this issue of Bichvodo, which means that everything will be assessed in this manner of Bichvodo. Is that really true?
Is there really a
no
correlation between Parshat Arachim and this issue of Nidon Bichvodo? Vatanya, we have a brayta. Rosh, Eved Zeh Hekdesh. The head of this Eved is given over to Hekdesh. Who? Hekdesh Shutafim Bo. He and Hekdesh are partners in this Eved. Rosh Eved, Machur Lucha, if you sell the head of your Eved to someone else, Mishamnim Be'ayim, they figure out the value of the Eved, and you basically work out. You get a portion of the value, he gets a portion of the value. Rosh Chamor Zegdesh, if you say the head of this Chamor Zegdesh, who? Vegdesh Shutafimbo, you and Ekdesh are partners in it. Rosh Chamor Machur Lucha, you sell the head of the Chamor to someone, Mishamnim Be'ayim, you have to work out the value, and then split the value of the Chamor between you. Rosh para machur lecha, the head of the para is sold to you. Lo machar ela rosha, sell para. Then you sold the head of the para. Elo od ela afilu rosh para hekdesh. If you make the head of a para hekdesh, and hekdesh ela rosha, the hekdesh only gets the head, not the entirety of the animal. So why would there be a difference? So what's the difference between para and eved and a chamor? Mar Baba, the explanation of why para is different than the chamor in the eved is da mizdaben reshit the Torah bebeit abcha, because the head of a cow is sold in the butcher shop. The difference between them is that para is a kosher animal. So there's a value to the head alone. Someone could use the head alone, meaning the butcher sells the head. Butcher sells the head, you could buy the head, and it has value to you. The head of a chamor has no value. It's not a kosher animal. What are you going to do with the head of a chamor? Same thing with the head of an eved. The head of an eved is not valuable without the remainder of its body. So therefore, by the eved and by the chamor, we can't separate and say he would have purchased this separately. He would have been makdish this separately. But by para, you can't say that. That's the difference in the braita. But what you do see from this braita is, and this is the point of Abaye, is Vecha chamor upara letnehu barachin. Chamor and para are not relevant to the parsha of Arachin. Ve'ein nido bichvodo. And over here, you see from this brayta, they clearly don't have this din of bichvodo, because in all of these situations, we say the head's value is separate from the body's value. By the parayas, to the extent that they only get the head. In the other cases, you become partners in the animal, and you have to divide up the animal between you and Hekdesh. You see that we don't say that the head is the equivalent of the entire animal. The head is not given this value of bichvodo.
So this is Abaye's question on Rava. Here you see that you have something that is not relevant to Arachim, and it doesn't have Bichvodo. So I see there is such a correlation between them. Where it says, well, Abaye, is it good for you as well? You think there is a correlation between them? I have a case in this Breita also that shows that someone who does have relevance to Arachim, and yet is not assessed according to Bichvodo.
Where it says, believe Tameich, Tikshelach, Eved. What about Eved? The Ite Barachim. It is Shaykh, and Eved is Shaykh, the Pasha Barachim, and he don't Bichvodo. And he doesn't have a din of Bichvodo at all. There's no question over here. Ha bekodshei mizbeach, ha bekedshei bedek habayit. There's a difference between the brayta and what we're speaking about. In one instance, you're talking about money that is donated to the mikdash. In the other instance, you're talking about monies that are going to be used towards the purchase of karbanot for the mizbeach. And therefore, there's a difference in the way that we look at it. The brayta that we just brought is talking about kodshei mizbeach. Therefore, when you donate such an item, the value of that item is relevant to hekdesh, and you become shutafim with hekdesh in the animal. But there's no din of bichvodo. Arachin, what do you do with the monies of Arachin? The monies of Arachin are donated to the treasuries of the mikdash. So the limud of bichvodo that comes out of Arachin is only relevant to things or donations that are made to bedek habayit, not to the mizbeach. So therefore over here, you're comparing apples and oranges. You're telling me that there's a problem with our understanding, there's a connection between Arachin and bichvodo, because you brought us a brayta. That brayta is not in the parsha of Bedek Habayit in the Parsha Mizbeach. Parsha Mizbeach, we don't learn out the Din of Bichvodo in Parsha Mizbeach. We only learn it out by Parshat Bedek Habayit. And that's why there's a difference between the Brayta, what you just brought from the Brayta, versus what we're suggesting, that there is some correlation between Arachin and Bichvodo.
So Abaye, the same way that you'll differentiate between the Eved that is found in this Brayta and the normal case of Bedek Habayit, I'll say the same thing over here. Yes, normally something that's Kodshei Bedek Habayit is Nigdon Bichvodo, irrespective of whether it has anything to do with Parshat Arachin. Over here in the Brayta, we're talking about Kodshei Mizbeach, and that's why the Para and the Chamor have a different din. So the same way you answer the steerer for yourself between Eved and Arachin, I'll answer that same stira between why I think Bichvodo applies to everything and why over here in the Brayta it doesn't apply. What I was speaking about, Rava says, is Bedek Habayit. What this Brayta is speaking about is Kodshei Mizbeach.
So Gemara says, by Mayu Kimta. So now what did you assign the Brayta to? Bekodshei Mizbeach. Ema Seifa. V'lo od, elo afilo amai rosh para zu ekdesh. En lekdesh, elo rosha. Amai. We have a principle by Kodshei Mizbeach. If you're Magdish, one aver of the animal, then the Kedusha spreads to the entire animal. So over here, why do you say that only the head is Hekdesh? It spreads to the entire animal. Milo Tanya, don't we have a Brayta? Omer Ragla Silzu Ola. The leg of this animal is an Ola. Yochote Kula Ola Tamalomar. Kola Sher Yiten Mimenu La Hashem Yeh Kodesh. Mimenu Kodesh Velo Kula Kodesh. That the whole animal does not become kodesh when you are magdish the leg. Yochol teitzei l'chulin. You would think that it would have no kedusha at all. Tamalomar yiyeh. Babiyato tiyeh. Haketzat. What do you do? Timacher l'tzorchei olot. V'damea chulin chutz midmei oto ever. You sell the animal to be used for olot. And then the monies that you receive are all chulin, except for the value of that one aver. Divi Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Shimon omrim minayin lomar roglash ozu ola, shuklu ola. If you say that the leg of this ola is kodesh, that the whole thing is kodesh, tamal omar kol asher yiten mimenu l'Hashem yeh kodesh. Rabot et kula, that becomes like the entirety. V'afilu l'manda amar, even according to the ones who say, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, in kula ola, hanim mili daktish dovar she'in aneshema tuliyabo. That's only if you're makdish some an aver, a limb that the animal's life is not dependent on. Over there, you're makdish the entire animal. So over here, if you think we're talking about kodshei mizbeach, the entire animal should be kodesh over here. The answer is lokasha. Habik dushat aguf, habik dushat damim. We actually have another category. We have three categories of what you can donate to the mikdash. You have bedek habayit, which is the treasury, and that's what we're speaking about with parshat Arachim. Then, within animals, you have two possibilities of donating to the Mikdash. You could donate the animal itself to the Mikdash, to the Mizbeach, and that this animal will end up on the Mizbeach. That's called Kedushat HaGuf. And then there's also Kedushat Damim, where you say, this animal's value I will use to purchase items that will go on the Mizbeach. So that's the difference. The case where you say that it spreads to the entire animal, that's when you're talking about Kedushat Aguf. When you're Maktish the animal itself to go on the Mizbeach, if you're Maktish an Eiver that a Neshama is Tluyaba, then the whole animal becomes Kodesh. It spreads to the entirety of the Kedushat Aguf. On the other hand, if you specify a specific Eiver, and you're going to sell that Eiver, and then you're going to use those monies to purchase something from the Mizbeach, over there we don't have this principle that it spreads to the entirety of the animal. And that's why we'll have this category where Bichvodo is not relevant, like the head of a para. The head of a para can be sold separately, and that is the value that you will use to purchase items to go on the Mizbeach, because that's Kedushat Damim. Versus Kedushat Aguf, where the din of Bichvodo will apply, as well as Berek HaBayit, where the din of Bichvodo will apply. So you have two of those categories. We have this din of Davar Sheneshama Tluya Bo will have impact. That is by Kedushat Berek HaBayit, like Arachin, or Kedushat Aguf, like we just brought down from the Mishnah in Temurah. And that one Braita that we brought where it doesn't have relevance, either you become a partner in the animal, or you could separate out the Rosh. That's talking about something that's Kedushat Damim LeMizbeach. We donate the monetary value of the object to purchase carbonot that will go on the Mizbeach. Over there, you don't have a din of Bichvodo, you don't have a din of an Eiver Sheneshama Tluya Ba. Okay, we'll stop over here.